When you lose your, nobody tells you that when you lose your hair, there are consequences. Hair is really useful. Keeps your head from getting burned, keeps your body heat, you know?
Is that the Tim Pool beanie or the beanie that Grimgris sells? Grimgris has a one that will protect you from the signal.
Oh, does Grimgris sell a beanie? I should get one of those.
Yeah, it's better than a tinfoil hat, I think.
this is just a toque to keep my head warm in the winter.
Paul, I got a question for you. It's the same question. I don't know if you heard the question I asked earlier. But I don't know, maybe Gavin, you can remember the question better. It's something like, if not Kanye, then who and what?
Right? Or how? Yeah.
If not Kanye, what?
Then who?
And I don't what? Understand the if not. I don't know. I understand the context of if not.
Yeah, we got to bring him up to speed, Chad.
Kanye got kicked off Twitter again.
well, okay. So the thing that I've been saying is it seems like everybody's interested in what he said and the things that he says. And I'm more looking at it as like what he's trying to, the hypocrisy he's trying, or the pattern that he's trying to draw out into the open. Right. And like, and it's like something that like sensible people have tried to talk about in a sensible way for long enough. It hasn't seemed to brought about any kind of real solutions or any kind of desirable solutions, let's say, that people want to play with in a sensible way. So my question is, if not Kanye, then what and how?
Right. So a really helpful word to remember in this moment is transgression. So if you listen to the postmodernist, the woke conversation, you'll hear a lot of the elevation of the transgressive. Now, what happens is people sort of hear that and get triggered. And so then once you say that word, you set up the whole, you know, authoritative transgressive dynamic. Now, what I hear you asking, Chad, is so the racist conversations got so overheated in that when anything, let's say me wearing a beanie is racist, and I'm sure it's racist for some people in some way, but me wearing this hat is racist and everything is racist, then racism ceases to be a category that functions effectively. And in some ways, what Kanye is doing is using this transgressive to destroy the category. So you have a black man who's spewing out the most awful anti-Semitism in a context where we had the declaration and public affirmation that only people of certain races can be racist, which is absolute nonsense for anyone who's been around the world at all. You know, racism, bias, all of this is part and parcel of the package of total depravity. It comes up all over the place. It's sort of the sinful byproduct of bias. It's never going to be eliminated. It's always going to be present. So Kanye just, you know, what's interesting about Kanye is that he's just exploding the categories. And he's, in a sense, forcing the systems to reset. And that's, in a sense, what the transgressive does. It forces systems to, it's like a circuit breaker. It forces systems to reset and to sit back and say, well, okay, what do we mean by racism? What is racism? And there's an incredible amount of nuance under it. I'm not saying Kanye is doing this consciously. If there's anything that at least I take from It's very hard to know with people what is conscious and what is not, what is intentional and what is not. Again, those two categories have also been overblown. So Kanye is acting out. And if there's anything that I've noticed about Kanye, it's that he is a person that has no filter. And he's also astoundingly intuitive. And he's been living at the heights of our society in a way that none of us have, as a billionaire, as married to, in a sense, the queen of the temple of attention, because that's what Kim Kardashian was. She's the queen of the temple of attention. And so he's right there at the top, and he's just expressing the transgressive circuit breaker that our culture has in certain registers. And that's why Peugeot nails it really well when he says, you know, watch the fool, don't follow him. Because what is happening with Kanye is basically showing the limits. And it's going to help the culture recalibrate the limits. And now, fortunately, and this is something that I think is underappreciated in our current context, we're doing this hopefully without much violence. Whereas, for example, the Holocaust was a moment of extraordinary violence that had the same function. And when we can do this with speech instead of with blood, it's a huge upgrade. And so, so what happens when Kanye gets banned from Twitter is we're finding the limits. So people were, okay, so we've got new free speech Twitter with Elon. And well, what are the limits of free speech on Elon? Because free isn't limitless. That those two words aren't the same. And so, because freedom always has with it responsibility. Good freedom always has with it responsibility and capacity. And so Kanye is in a sense just the cultural element out there through his transgressiveness, helping everyone else discover the limits. And again, fortunately, we're doing it with language and not with bloodshed. And
yeah, so, but they're also taking his bank accounts and shutting those down. And so it's weird to me too that stuff's happening.
Money is always a function of a system. Mm-hmm. Money isn't, and that's really important to destroy the idol of money is to always recognize that it's a function of a system. And we're seeing that Bitcoin is a function of Bitcoin. Dollars are a function of the U.S. government. And so you never own your money. It's always owned by that system.
Right. And that's what I was saying. I think it's really interesting that, for me, what I'm paying attention to is, like, I don't care what he said. It's our reaction to it. And it's interesting that you said he has no filter. But then you look at us and we become the filter, which is really interesting. And it busts out on all these different things. And we're only interested in how it most affects us. And it's like, I'm sitting here watching, like, it's interesting. How is this affecting all of us? Cause he's like willing to step out and step off a ledge. So, you know, maybe he has his selfish reasons for that. I don't care, whatever they are, but whatever's happening, we're watching, like, it's like this Sandy question that you brought up. And so I think all of that's very, very interesting, you know. And like, so I didn't know what he said. I saw there was like a video, like a thumbnail on a video on YouTube. And I didn't watch the video. I don't know what Kanye said. I don't pay attention. But I saw on the thumbnail it said, Kanye says he loves Hitler? ? And I was like, what? And I just thought it was so bizarre. And I was observing myself on how I felt and seeing that thumbnail. And then I heard Chris Pacaw this morning talking about it with Ivan. And he brought it. He said what he said was, "I'm a Christian and I love Hitler because basically Christ asked me to love my enemies." And I thought, holy crap, that puts everything in an entirely different arena. And so I just think that's really interesting, observing myself on how I react to a certain thing and then how it goes through another filter. And then now I see it from a different point of view. And so, again, it's like we all want people to not say things because they're harmful and that they're going, you know, they're dangerous. But it's like, okay, well, if not him, then who? And then what and how? Right? So that's the basis of my question.
Well, a lot of it is again, context. And, you know, it is also interesting. Tom Holland has made the point again and again that Hitler has replaced Satan or the devil as the archetypal agent of evil. And I don't think there are few people in... There are a few people in our world and in our circles, there are some, but there are a few people who wouldn't say that what Hitler did was evil. But it's also interesting how we collide the evil and the madman and the insane, which are definitely not the same thing. And so again, what Kanye is doing is we are seeing the limits through him. And he is showing us, well, is Hitler the devil? No, not exactly. So when we associate Hitler with the devil, what are we saying? And it's really a helpful function. So we're playing out the drama.
So I had a dream where I met the ruler of this world just a couple nights ago. And the ruler of this world uses deception and convinces people to basically tricks them into becoming possessed while thinking they are in control, and they fear losing power. And for me, that's like, it's like Kanye's speaking against the system. He might be using words he is using words I wouldn't use, but he's basically saying things and having the system that, where my dream tells me the system has a ruler, which is like Satan. And he's experiencing the result of this kind of fallen world that we're in. And so, you know, the idea that Hitler is being equated with Satan to me just triggered this dream. That's like, no, Satan is smart. Satan is behind the scenes, deceiving and fears losing power, and is raising up people who are deceiving and fears losing power. And that's what's going on.
Yeah, and how can you discover what your idols are if you don't have that happening? If that opponent processing isn't happening, you know, how do you discover what those boundaries are and what your idols are? If it's like the idea of hitting bottom or something like that.
And I think one of the things that occurs with demonology is that demons aren't stupid creatures, beings. They're incredibly intelligent, because it's when you're most vulnerable and have fallen like the hardest that you can be convinced by a demonic possession that you'll let this spirit in. And that's when it's the most powerful and the most dangerous. And I also, pointing back at Kanye, I think it reminds me of there was an image I saw, I think in medieval times. It was a thing called the jester's right, or the rule of the jester or something. And it's that you are never to take the jester seriously, and the jester reserves the right to mock without repercussion, because no one just takes a jester seriously. So Kanye doing all these outrageous things to many doesn't really matter, because he's sort of showing those boundaries with the transgression. And even if you think he is a fool for doing so, then it doesn't matter that you think he's a fool. I used the term earlier on that I think he's acting like a martyr, using absurdity, because his behaviors seem to be weird, eccentric, or he's like, oh, he can be this crazy artist genius because he's a genius, and he has the right reserved because of that. So whether it's consciously or unconsciously, I think he's doing these things for a greater good. But we're just focusing too much on the semantics, perhaps. But it is drawing those boundaries of, like, well, where do we draw the line, as Paul said?
Yeah, when we say, I mean, when we talk about human agency, especially if our anthropology is, our anthropology sufficiently accepts the spiritual world. I mean, to what degree is Kanye doing this? And to what degree are the spiritual rulers of the air and of the world doing this through him? Part of, you know, mental illness comes into this often. And the way we use that culturally is really flat. Okay, so his brain isn't functioning properly. No. Many of the, you know, I've been talking on my channel about sanity. Sanity is not just simply the proper working of my brain. So that's quite likely an issue with Kanye. I mean, he does exhibit many signs of mania in what he's doing. But that doesn't mean it's just gibberish. It's clearly not gibberish. If it were gibberish, we wouldn't be paying any attention and he wouldn't be getting canceled. There are plenty of examples of gibberish out there that everybody just walks by and pays no attention to. You can find them. I walk out to Florin Road. I can grab half a dozen of them right now. I know exactly where to find them and who they are. And I can put a camera in front of them and they can start talking and they'll just talk. And nobody will worry a thing about it because in a sense, the signal to noise ratio is really low. Now, Kanye's signal to noise ratio is quite a bit higher. And so in some ways he's channeling various spirits of the air, which is why he's getting canceled and why he's being held accountable. Because again, he is in some ways sort of this transmission point through which we are all participating in discovering the limits and the boundaries of the transgressive in the culture. And that's the function of what's happening. And so it isn't simply Kanye and his mental illness. It's to what degree, I mean, the reason Kanye is a billionaire and a musician and a genius and a fool and the court jester, I mean, again, he was married to the queen of the Temple of Attention. And so he was both the king and the fool. I mean, he always was. Mm-hmm. And is, again, his father was a Black Panther. His mother was a university professor. And part of what we see through Kanye is sort of like, I mean, Peugeot keeps pointing to David. There's a relationship between the king and the fool. And you can see this relationship with Jesus as well. On one point, Jesus' family wants to come and take possession of him because they worry that he's insane. And if you read some of what Jesus says, you know, he's sometimes the fool. The greatest among you will, you know, the greatest among you must be the servant of all. The first will be last and the last will be first. The reason the Gospels continue to be read and don't get stale is because he's the highest and the lowest. I mean, all the stuff Peugeot says, I mean, Peugeot is right. And Peugeot is able to sort of bring this out for us to see. And Kanye is bringing this out for us to see. Now, that doesn't mean that the anti-Semitic statements and his and these latest antics on Alex Jones, of all places, aren't in fact racist and dangerous. Yes, they are. There's a reason that even Alex Jones has to backpedal. But what Kanye is doing again, he's sort of illuminating the territory. Here are the boundaries. If we can live within these boundaries and life is good, you transgress them and things go bad. And again, fortunately, we're doing it in terms of speech. We're doing it in terms of mental maps, and we're not doing it with tanks and guns and concentration camps. So it's overall, it's a healthy exercise.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what history says about it. You know, it's interesting that, you know, like you said, I don't know how much of it's intentional or how well thought out of it is. It's like very impulsive. It's like, oh, I'm willing to do this, you know, like, so I think there's something, there is, as absurd as it is, there's something admirable about it. Thank God that not all of us have to do it, because that would just be an absolute mess. But in some ways, anybody who utters the word "ye" or "Kanye" is doing it. And again, as you said, he has no filters, and we're acting as his filters. And it's just it's pointing at something like paramount in the in the overall cultural conversation. About it says what he's doing says so much about us. And I think that it's very, very important that we pay attention to that. That's why I sent you a link to Chris and Ivan's conversation. I don't know if you'll check it out, but if you do, those guys, man, they hit on some of the most interesting things when they get into this. So thanks for chatting with us this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad for everybody here. I'm thankful that everyone's here. I'd said earlier, we were trying to, it seemed like we were trying to steel man Kanye, and then we had Ariel in the chat, and we were able to then steel man Ariel. And it would be nice to see like someone from Judaism trying to steel man Kanye, because he's seeing patterns. I forget who had said that in this conversation, but he's seeing patterns. And that, yeah, whoever said it in this conversation was pointing at Jonathan Peugeot, that, you know, we can, the patterns are real. He's seeing them. He just happens to be using a language and using words that, you know, cause everyone's trained. Like, I feel like we're like often like Pavlov's dog, but the training we've received is that the alarm bells start going off. And when we hear certain words and phrases, but there are patterns that we could really pay attention to those patterns and try to have an important conversation about the bad patterns that exist in society. And he is shining a light on that, the opportunity to have that conversation.
It reminds me of in 1984, the book. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but there's something about how you can't remember who was the enemy first. Was it the East or the West? And it keeps going back and forth. And it's like, we've gone through this so many times, you can't remember who the enemy was. And it's like, when I think about whatever that trope is, it reminds me of a lot of what's happened, a lot of what's manifested in the world. Maybe it's always been there. Like, we can never really, we're always playing this strange game.
What do you think, Andre?
Yeah, that I think what Chad said was interesting. It is sort of like an interchange between the East and the West, and also from what Paul said before, that Jesus seeming to be the highest and lowest, and sometimes comes off as mad. This reminds me as I think it's I don't know the exact part of New Testament it's in, but it's the chasing the way of the dove sellers. So he essentially walks into this place, and he knocks over the table of people selling coins, and chases away people selling doves, and and also I think live cattle or something like that. Shouts, get away from this place. This place is the place of my father. And you're sort of desecrating it. And I'm paraphrasing this very strongly, but what precedes this is that he makes a whip from, I think, either rope or flowers or something like that, tied together. And he uses that to sort of run at people and sort of brandishes it and tries to scare them away. Because he's simultaneously trying to protect something sacred and divine, which is the place of worship, but he's using something almost farcical in that, like, he's fashioning a whip impromptu and attacking people in order to do so. So that combination of both the king and the fool, I think, comes together in that parable. I wish I could remember what part it's from. I've got it written down somewhere. I think that's an interesting point.
Are you saying there's more than one place in the Bible where Jesus flips tables? I like that. I pointed at this in a previous stream, at trying to get the Christians to disagree about when we should be flipping tables and stuff. And it has something to do with what is sacred, the question about what is sacred. I know there's the story of him in the temple, flipping tables in the temple, and the temple being a sacred place. But yeah. So yeah, Kanye's bumping into things.
Well, I mean, perhaps Kanye is, in his own way, flipping the tables, but using his words to do so.
Hey, Nahama.
Hi.
Have you enjoyed this conversation?
Yes, very much. Is there feedback? Yes, there is. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, I am.
I appreciated your comments that you put in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really interesting to watch the conversation evolve as, you know, there was one or two other gentlemen here before, and then now, yeah, it's a good one.
Here's the one. Here's my favorite. And we are still getting some feedback.
Oh, no. Okay, hold on a second.
Make sure you close your YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, one can say a mission might be to practice how to communicate intent and spirit with others within the world of Babel.
Hang on a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe you guys can help me with this. I only have StreamYard open. I don't think I have YouTube open. But are you still hearing feedback?
It might just be that sometimes it's nice to have a earbuds and a mic. Sometimes your speakers may be feeding back into your microphone.
I'll put in headphones. So try that.
Okay. I yield the floor.
Well, I've said enough, guys. I really appreciate the entire conversation. It's good and healthy, and I'm gonna hop off, but. Thank you, and hope to see you guys around. And let's not take ourselves too seriously, yeah? Later.
It's always a pleasure.
I wanted to say how much, hopefully Chad will get this, I wanted to say how much I appreciate his channel. He's been doing some amazing stuff on Friday Morning Nameless, and he's not taking himself or us too seriously, which is really good. So,
yeah, with a wrestling mask like that.
and the cigarette hole in the COVID mask.
So Nahama, do you want to try to point at the patterns that Kanye sees?
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to figure out my whole Bluetooth situation, and I'm not being very...
Oh yeah, well, take your time, just let us know. Yeah. We're not in any rush.
I just know how annoying it is to have that feedback, so I want to try to figure it out.
Well, you can speak, and I can mute.
I sort of approach this similar to what we did in Discord with the Open Studio, in that, you know, silence isn't a bad thing. This isn't radio that, you know, you can have a few moments of, we don't have to fill the world with our yapping.
This is true.
That's true, but I like the sound of my own voice.
Last time I joined a stream, for some reason, I did not get any feedback, so I don't know what's going on this time. And my computer does not want to recognize my headphones. So, I'll figure it out. Just give me a couple minutes.
So, Chad says she'll have to go into her settings in StreamYard and switch it to Bluetooth. That is signal. Signal in the noise.
I feel just like Chad when I do this. cover the lower part. I'm just not going to. You know, I'm just emptying the dishwasher, making breakfast, having breakfast, and, you know, just can catch you guys for a few minutes. And I hope to do a Bridges of Meaning Q&A at, hey, there's Tayo. Hey, good to see you. It was so fun meeting Tayo when Vendank and I were in the UK. That was so awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Are those groups still going?
Yes, they are. We've got next Estro meeting on the 11th of December.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's good to see you too, Paul.
Way to go. That's awesome, Tayo.
Yeah, I was part of, together with Andrea, Gavin and Chad, we're the reason the conversation has been very Kanye dominant.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Alex Jones and started listening, and he started asking for money because he has so many viewers and he's losing money and he's bankrupt. And then I went over to Chris Bacall's channel, and I just, yeah, I was hoping that people would chat with me about the topic. And I do feel like it was meaningful for me to realize that steel manning other people's perspectives is, like, to me, that's embodying the Holy Spirit. Like, that connected with me today. I was reminded of that. So, and I asked, and I apologize. It sounds like I may have mispronounced your name earlier, but Tayo, I apologize for that. Tayo was saying he doesn't imagine that Kanye would be able to steel man the other perspective, and that might be the case.
Okay, I figured it out.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I was on my phone last time and it just connected instantly. So back on my phone. That's the solution. Yeah. Yeah, I really like the whole fool versus king thing. I think that really applies here. I think I see this similarly to how you do, Paul. Maybe a little, and I'll just preface this by saying I am the Jewish person in the building right now. I know you had wanted somebody to come in, Gavin, who is Jewish, and I may disappoint you. I don't know how much I'll steel man what I don't really like have a personal opinion on what Kanye has to say. I just don't care. Like, for me, I'm more of a free speech absolutist where I'm like, let the man talk, you know, and then I'm with Paul where, like, the conversations my grandmother was having during the Holocaust were, I prefer this one. This is a much better conversation in my book. So I do think it's interesting. I kind of see Kanye as somebody, maybe it was you, Tyler, I don't remember, maybe it was Andre, who had pointed to Kanye being able to say things that a white man in his position couldn't say and that black men couldn't say. And so like he gets this because of who he is. And, you know, there's so many criticisms that people can make of Kanye, just like they could make of me. But because of who he is, he has that unique allowance somehow. And so like, and he's using it for better, for worse. And then it's really, to me, this has been a very interesting and fruitful conversation. And to be honest, I wasn't planning on coming on stream today. I wasn't planning on watching any streams today. It was going to be a very alone day for me. I was going to have like a lot of me time. And especially when I saw it was about Kanye, I was like, whatever, I don't care. I'm not going to. But I stayed a little and I listened and I was like, okay, we're talking about things that have to do with us, right? So it's a jump off point. And so that is interesting to me. Yeah, those are my initial thoughts. I'm not entirely sure where I was going there.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I do know where I was going. I'm choose to look at Kanye for like the service that he does do, which is like bring these things to our attention that apparently people can't say. It's like, well, why can't we say things? That's interesting. And then what are those things? And then he has in some way allowed us to have this conversation. Like there's nobody here who is like, Kyle, you can't say that. You know, Gavin, you can't say that. We all do. We are experiencing our free speech right now. And we're talking about the things he's talking about. So I see that as a win, I guess. I definitely hear the one thing when Trump came into like much more public view that I did not enjoy the effects of was like the degradation of speech in society and the normalization of that. And so from like my Jewish relatives and people that I care about and love, I do hear about incidences of violence and stuff and how and when they pick up and when they go down. So that is like, that's like real, like that's practically real to me. But then, you know, that brings up a really good question that I hear in a lot of spaces on the internet is like, we all have influence to some degree or another. Some people have more, some people have less. There are some spheres I'm in, I am the most influential person in them. There are some spheres that people couldn't care less that I'm there and everything in between. And so like, what responsibility does a person have with that influence? You know, as far as speech goes, do others have a right to impose some expectation on me if I do have influence? You know, this connection between words and violence and like, and other people's actions. And that's a whole other conversation, but I do think it's interesting that it brings it up.
Yeah, that's related to the question of like, who do you platform or deplatform or exclude from the conversation? And because what do you imagine the consequences would be for having this person share these ideas? And there are consequences.
Yeah.
I wonder if Paul has ever had a conversation with someone where he decided he did not want to share it. It wasn't the other person. Like, that's kind of the... That would be a...
It was. There have been.
Yeah. So you decided not to platform people.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. So that's good to know. There's some responsibility with your platform and you're trying to be responsible with your platform. It's good to know. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. I don't talk about it. Part of the reason I do, you know, now with StreamYard, I have thought about doing more conversations streaming live, but that takes off the possibility of not sharing. And that's not a bad possibility. And most often, many of the conversations, many of the Randall's conversations I have that don't get shared because the person doesn't want to, which is, I tell people, if we have a conversation and you don't want to share it, I won't think any less of you. It is absolutely a sign of sanity to not be on the internet. many times, the most common thing is that they wanted to talk about some things that would not be appropriate to talk about in public because many of the people are alive. There's been conflict. There's been harm. There's been hurt. Like the conversation I posted this morning, I don't know if we could have done that where she's very, very much discloses the, you know, her father, the trauma of alcoholism, what that did to her life, you know, broke up her parents' marriage. If her father hadn't already died, we probably couldn't talk about that the way we did. Sometimes you can. Sometimes it's gotten to a point where, you know, usually if there's been enough healing, reconciliation, or the person has owned up to the fact, got beyond their alcoholism, you know, but so many conversations aren't shared, and that's absolutely okay. Sometimes we will share a conversation, then I'll get a note from someone, please take down our conversation because, and then they have a variety of reasons, and I'm happy to do that too. So, but no, there have been very, very few, because mine pretty broad, where someone, for one reason or another, was saying some things that I didn't want on my channel, and they were too much for me. And so, no, I'm not making a statement about the world, but this isn't who I am. This isn't the conversation I want to have. This isn't the conversation. I mean, and I also am very careful. Everything I put on, I am not promoting, even though there's that tension with platforming. Some things I put on because there needs to be conversation. And like with Kanye, the transgressive needs to be seen so that people will understand where the lines are. And again, we don't know where all the lines are. I mean, that's the limitations of law. There's always like, there's case law because there's always new permutations in the world that the legislators couldn't anticipate or didn't have the time or there wasn't reason to actually list them all out. So that's why you always need a living human judge to say, this is good, this is bad, this is in bounds, this is out of bounds. There's always an out of bounds.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. That's kind of what I was asking Andre. He's an admin at Awakening from the Meaning Crisis Discord. And, you know, I was trying to get at that question of like, you know, when do you decide to exclude people? It has something to do with your goals. Yeah. And then for me, I'm interested in, well, what's the best way to do that? I'm actually like, I don't like conflict. So it's like, if I meet a person that I don't want to platform, it's like they could try to hop in right now. I would need to be able to respond quickly, you know. I'm a kind of personality that avoids conflict. And I imagine just trying to put myself in your shoes, dealing with that kind of situation where someone, you're telling someone, basically, you either ignore them or you tell them, you know, I'm not going to put your message on my YouTube channel. That's even for me, that would be difficult just because of my personality. So I'm trying to learn how to be a better person and improve my character. And I could see where being able to have confrontation like that is a skill that I want to get better at.
I think it was Freud who said that at the heart of every relationship is conflict. So every bit of intimacy, every relationship, every friendship that we form with one another, there's always going to be conflict at the center of it. And there can't be anything formed without that. Because you're never going to have a successful bonding with someone if it's just only based upon agreeing consistently and constantly, because it will be trivial and be meaningless. If you just meet someone, they say like, oh, do you like the color red? Yes, oh, I do too. Do you like blue? Yes, I like blue.
Like it, and it needs to be reciprocal too. Yes. It can't be one way.
But that conflict also, from that arises very important things such as demonstrating to each other where you set your own boundaries. It shows what virtues you hold, what values you hold, your purpose and what you find meaningful. And to further what Paul was saying, it also demonstrates the transgressor, that, like, what is too far and what is allowable. Because you have some friends where you can go quite far and they might crack jokes that are very taboo or like situational, contextual, that you couldn't make in polite company. You make jokes about slavery or the Holocaust, and between the two of you, like, ha-ha, but like you wouldn't tell those to your parents in the same vein. So having that transgressive there of what's allowable to each person allows those boundaries to be clearly shown, and that strengthens a bond with any other human, I think.
Yeah, what's allowable to each person is very interesting, because the idea of intent came up much earlier in the conversation. And I just remember thinking at the time, like, how would I even know Kai's intent? I don't know. I haven't talked to him. We haven't had a conversation. So I have zero way of knowing. I won't even presume. And for me, a lot of what is allowable in my personal conversations has a lot to do with intent. And so that's very interesting. Meaning I don't engage too much in the nitty gritty of Kanye's words or actions, because he's not in my personal life. So I don't have the tools that I usually have to be able to do that with the people that I do know and do interact with. And so I'm able to have those just as contentious, if not even more contentious, conversations with people that I know, but because I have more of it, I have more tools at hand. That makes sense. But, that brings us back to the whole Babel thing, which, and the, like, why are you here? And I've been thinking about that, Gavin, because you had asked that of the gentleman who was here earlier. And to what you were saying, Paul, like, I kind of try to avoid interaction on the internet these days as much as possible. I do get sucked into these things that interest me and call to me and that I've been interested in for a variety of years. And so it's like, I'm not going to just like shut it off, but I don't have Discord anymore. I had it for a short period of time and it brought more discord than harmony to my life, and I wasn't enjoying that. So I say, okay, well, what's the point of that? Excuse me, I'm going to have a couple brain farts because I only just had coffee. It's going to take like 20 minutes to kick in. So I keep starting a thought and then going, what the heck was I talking about? So, yeah. I just had a blank there.
Yeah, how do we navigate the babble? this is the state of the world. We use language and different people interpret it differently. I mean, I have thoughts about it, and maybe we're trying to do it, but it seems really important to be able to do that.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking of. Why am I here? At least for today, maybe tomorrow is a different reason, who knows? But this interpreting different languages, I feel like I've done in my personal life. I came from an Orthodox religious background, and so, that's like one of the highest levels of practicing. And I chose a different path. But in that whole process over the course of 15, 16, 17 years now, I'm 33 now. I made the choice to leave when I was 16. My relationships have gone through these like incredible arcs that I now am looking at general society and going like, oh, you guys are going through what I went through almost, you know, like that separation from my parents and then coming back. And then how do we talk when our realities are different and you think I'm a bad person and I think you're a bad person and we can't reconcile these things that, I, you know, so I've been through this whole personal journey myself with like my world. And now I see the greater world. But initially, when I saw the world sort of going through the thing, I was like, oh, damn it. Like, I don't want everybody to experience this turmoil and tragedy, you know. But, you know, we're here. And so maybe that's what I have to contribute. I don't know. Because it's not that I feel like I have the answers. I am very aware that I don't, because everybody is very different. And the answer for everyone is very different. The more I live, the more I learn that. But this opponent processing, maybe that's where, maybe that's why I'm here, because I've built a world of relationships, a Venn diagram of people in my life that I love and care about who, if society looked at it, they would go, that's not possible. And it's not possible. It's my everyday life. Like, I have friends who like are at Trump rallies, and I have friends who are like working for the government in DC, and I've embodied certain positions in various places that also would seem completely like, you know, not aligning at various points of time. So I don't know. I look at my relationship with my parents, and that's like the most stark thing to me, that we have such a strong, close relationship now and understanding. We've been able to build a world of understanding without having to really reconcile the things we disagree with. We have not come to a consensus on the things we agree with, and that doesn't matter at all, you know? And so I think just it was so difficult to do that in a, just for one person and then a community and a family setting. It took me like a decade, you know? It took like 5 years of like not maintain, of like not talking to these people, and then all of, you know, and then just sort of building up and all of this. And how do we talk? And do we yell at each other? Do we talk to each other? Like, how much do I want you to be a part of my life? Can I trust you? All of this stuff. And now we're doing it at like a huge, massive, like we're just doing it at a global scale. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal. You know, it's not a small thing. And there's a reason why there's so much like turmoil and confusion. But
I get goosebumps. When you say all this stuff.
Really? Yeah. For me, I don't think it's half bad. You know, I mean, I don't want anybody to suffer needlessly, obviously. That's always going to be the case. But considering my perspective, for what that's worth, that's really only one perspective of, like, where I see us at, I don't think it's so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I got tears about, and goosebumps and... My whole system starts responding with you're speaking truth. Like, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I feel like that we're trying to do that, and that's the whole world. Maybe we're doing it in a microcosm, and this is why I want people to disagree and learn how to disagree the right way, right? So hopefully we can figure it out. That way we don't have to have war or as much war.
Yeah. Ideally. Yeah.
Now that was beautifully said. And, you know, Gavin, you know, when Sevilla sort of coined this little corner, I mean, that image has, it's a corner of the big, so it's not disconnected from the whole, but, part of what's happening, I didn't get a chance. I had so many video ideas yesterday and I actually had a little time to do it. So that's why I warn people when I redid my office, it means more videos are coming, more per day in some cases, depending on my schedule. But this, what we're doing right now, this is what needs to happen. And, you know, people are like, well, what about Discord? No, Discord's got leadership. Discord's got momentum. I'm going to continue to, you know, it's like plate spinning. When you first get a plate spinning, it takes a little bit more effort to get that plate spinning. Once it's spun, every now and then you got to go and, you know, do that to it to keep it going. But, and part of what we're doing now is in this little corner, we're fractaling out because you could say that in this size space where there's a degree of trust. And but what you really need in order to scale are just more spaces where the health continues to go out. And because what you said is so true, what you said is the experience of so many of us in a pluralistic, conflicted space. Because if we can't live without beliefs, we can't live without a religion, whether we constituted a religion or not. Once you have a religion, there's going to be conflict because religions are about what's the ultimate, what's of ultimate importance, and there's going to be differences. So then the question is, how can I continue to be in a family with people who have different religions? And that's an enormously complex thing, but you just articulated it really, really well. And what gives it power is you articulated it through the truth and reality of your own life. It was amazing. It was just absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that warms my heart. It's a beautiful thing. You know, it's Friday. I'm not keeping Sabbath, but I did take a picture of the sunset and sent to my family WhatsApp, you know, Shabbat Shalom. We have a very cohesive and coherent understanding of sort of what's going on and, you know, who's in what place and what role. And I have a significant role in the family. And I think also a part of it that has been, to my chagrin when I was younger and to my service now that I'm older, is that I have my siblings and we're all vastly different. And so we are forced to contend with that. You know, if it was maybe three of us, we could, you know, you'd sort of fit us in a box somewhere, but no. And we're all very interesting people, some of us competitive, some, you know, it's a fascinating arena. And like, yeah, it is really beautiful. I'll have some days, you know, my life in some ways is really boring, and I'll have some days that are really fascinating. Like my youngest sister, I'll try not to talk too detailed about my family because I haven't asked them how public they want to be about their roles and stuff. But, you know, my little sister is gay, and she's very involved in those communities. And so, you know, in a sort of very sort of influential way. And so when something's going on in the news, you know, she knows about it. She's talked to people, and, you know, and she has lots to say, and she'll call me up. And so, you know, we'll talk through it. You know, my oldest brother works for Agudath Israel of America, which is, you know, the leading sort of one of the overarching Jewish organizations of that have a variety of departments that work internationally with Jews all over the world. And so, and he has a prominent position there. And so, you know, and sometimes, and so, when, you know, I had one day, the last month, there was a particular issue going on, and I'm not going to tell you guys, and again, I have to talk to them first, but, you know, there was something going on in the news, and they were not on the same side, and they were both very influential in what was happening, and it did not create a problem in the family, and it was hilarious for me to get the call from my brother, and to be able to listen to him, and support him, and give my two cents where he wanted it, and do the same for my sister, and not betray myself, not betray either one of them, and not hide anything in the process. And like, that was just like a crazy day for me, because like, I was sitting at home, nothing was happening, but I just felt like, I don't know how to describe that feeling. It's just, and then I'm looking at the news, and you know, it's what we're talking about. And I know he's going to go to his board, and they're going to talk, and it's going to influence that, and she's going to go do her thing. And you know, like, we all have an effect on the world around us to a degree, and so I was like very aware of like my position as a sister in this situation, and like I could react any number of ways, I can interact with them in any number of ways. And, there's a deep sense of satisfaction. It's the process to get here. I cannot describe how painful. Right? You know, And I say that to validate how difficult it is now for everyone. And it was worth it. So, yeah. It takes so much. You have to be raw. You have to be bloodied at times. You have to humble yourself. You have to think about, like, why am I here? What do I want to accomplish? Do I belong here? I've been in spaces where I realize, oh, I don't belong here, either for myself or for other people. You know, when we talk about the boundaries of like who should be here and who should not, you know, I do think about whether I should be here. I didn't join earlier, and there were reasons why I did not, because I didn't belong here earlier today, and I do belong here now, right? Those are personal reasons. So on could have to do what was going on with the conversation, but it wasn't the case. So, yeah, it's a very interesting moment. And in all of my explorations, like as I'm going through this process with my family, I'm intensely curious, as you are, Paul, about a variety of things. And so I find myself sort of, you know, this corner has been named this corner, and I sort of see this whole like thing as a puzzle in the online space. And I'm like, oh, I've been to the center, and I've been to that top little puzzle piece, and now I'm in the little corner, which is a variety of puzzle pieces in the corner, you know. And I have found myself in trouble in a variety of spaces and ways, in where either, I'm not going to elaborate on that too much, but where was I going with that? Another brain fart. I guess we're sort of, it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and the pieces are a mess. Some of them are kind of, and it's like, do I fit here? Do we fit here? Where's the Venn diagram overlap? If we don't fit next to each other, can we visit? In what context? Again, so this is like a very high level transformative thing that's happening, not just here, but like everywhere. And we're all sort of, it seems to me at least, trying to figure out like, how do I do it? How does what the world is doing relate to me? You know, so hearing a lot of that with Kanye thing, how does this relate to me? And how do we fit together? And we're not going to really fit together how the puzzle looked last year or yesterday. And so like, that's very confusing, because that requires faith in something, faith in yourself, faith in someone else, faith in something, faith in like the tastiness of cheesecake, if that's what keeps you going, like, you know, it really does. And so, because from my view, we don't know what tomorrow looks like. We've never seen it before. And so we don't even technically know what we're aiming at. We have different, that's how some of the corners come together. If you're aiming at a particular thing, or you have shared things that you're aiming towards, it comes together in that way. So, but yeah, I just want to give like a little bit of like, we're doing a good job, guys. Like we're okay. You know, we're okay. It's tough. It's bloody. We get bruised. We don't really quite know what we're doing. We don't really know where we're going. We don't really know what it looks like. Some of us more than others. Yeah. And again, I'm like kind of reticent to be here, because I've gotten myself in trouble. I am aware of the power of words and how that affects myself and other people, and how these relationships are not benign. You know, so I don't know what I'm doing here in some sense. And so that's my little bit, I guess, for now.
It was amazing. That was amazing. It really was. Really was. Thank you for saying all of this, because I think what I hear and what you said right here is what I've heard bits and pieces from a lot of other people in Rando's conversations and Discord and Estuary and just chatting and all of this. You've kind of brought a bunch of it and put it right there, and about what this is about and what we're doing and why it's important. And how not only it's about what's going on at the center and in the big, in the whole world, in a sense, but also brought all the way down into my life and into my relationships and into my family and into my little world. So no, it was. I'm gonna. This is coming to my channel. I'm sorry. I hope that's okay with you. That I think you summed it up just absolutely beautifully. I have to go. But thank you all for doing this. You know, big shout out to Jacob for having this idea. The video I wanted to make is basically working on Robert Frost, Nature's First Green is Gold. It's hardest hue to hold. Right now we're in the golden period of just chatting, where it's just big enough so that we can have enough people to scale to play at this level, but it's small enough that we're not overwhelmed. And so blessed are the early adopters for they will see the gold. So thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Paul.
Nice to see you.
We'll see you later.
See you again.